Today. Well, hey, if you have your Bible, you can go to Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to continue our series entitled, Here Comes the Dreamer. And if you're new or newer to Citizen Church, welcome. Glad that you're here. Honored that you're with us. And this is the fifth sermon within this series. And throughout this series, we've been looking at the life of Joseph and how God gave Joseph a dream. And the reality is that God has given every single one of us a dream. But it's not just about having a dream and sitting on it. It's about having a dream and moving from dream to destiny. But let me tell you, it's not just about stepping into destiny. It's about seeing destiny come to fulfillment. And all throughout this series, we've seen Joseph go through tests, whether it be a family test or a false accusation test. And today is no different. If you're taking notes, I've titled today's sermon, The Power Test. The Power Test. And I'll explain kind of what I mean by that. Now, I've heard incredible and necessary sermons on how to respond to the valley, to the trial, to the hardship tests that we'll face in life. But today I want us to look in God's word and at Joseph's story and see what God's word says on how to respond to things like authority, success, influence, or power tests that we'll face in life. And the power test happened in Joseph's life when he was 30 years old. He interpreted two dreams for Pharaoh. And when he did that, he stepped into his destiny. And if you're taking notes, you can jot this down. The power test begins when we step into God's destiny for our life. And I'm going to add to that statement in just a little bit. But first, Genesis chapter 41. We're going to skip around just a bit, but you'll get the gist of the story. I tried my best to kind of summarize this so we weren't reading text for forever. But this will be the bulk of the scripture that we're going to go through. And I'll try to hopefully summarize this well enough to where you understand what's going on. But this is right after Pharaoh's two dreams in verses 1 through 7. And so here we go, Genesis chapter 41, verses 8 and 9. It says this, in the morning his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dream, but no one could interpret them for him. Verse 9, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Now let's jump to verse 14. It says this, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Now we're going to jump to verses 37 through 44. It says this in verse 37, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. I want you to notice that Joseph goes to sleep in a prison, wakes up in a prison, and the next day is called to a palace and then wakes up in the palace. It happened that fast. The power, the authority, the responsibility, the influence went like that. He woke up in a prison, was called out of it, went to the palace the next day, wakes up in a palace. In verse 41, it says that he was quickly brought from the dungeon. It happened suddenly. Maybe there's been sudden moments that have happened to you. Not long ago, I was out golfing, and I'm telling you, when I started, it was sunny, it was bright, the skies were blue. Some of you will know this with the monsoon season that we're in. This is likely to happen. And I'm out golfing, and it's just so sunny. It's a beautiful day. And I kid you not, by the fourth hole, I look up, it's completely dark. It's like I've just went into a different city and just like, you know, morphed over into another land or something. And it's like a different day. And I'm like, whoa, what has happened? Like, this has so quickly happened. I didn't even notice. And it's dark. And the next thing I know, by hole number five, it's like lightning, thundering, rain is coming down like sideways, and I'm running for shelter. It happened that fast. Sudden moments that happen in our life. Suddenly, our oldest son, Grayson, is 9 years old. And I know some of you parents, you're like, hey, just wait, buddy, okay? Wait till they're teenagers. Wait till they're in college or graduating college. They have a family of their own. Just wait for it. I'm not looking forward to it, okay? And I'm gonna make my wife start crying over here if I don't stop right now. But suddenly, our oldest is nine. Suddenly, and normally I'm not this type of person either, but suddenly, it's August 1st of 2021. Like, normally, I'm not that guy. Like, when people say these kind of things, like, wow, where'd the year go? I'm like, do you have a calendar? Like, I know where it's at. Like, I know where we're at. But for whatever reason, this year has truly flown by for me. And it doesn't help that as I'm watching the Olympics, all the branding is still 2020. But still, like, it flies by. Sudden moments. Joseph woke up a prisoner one morning. And the next morning, he woke up as one of the most powerful people in the world. It happened so fast. In the power test, it can come suddenly. You may work hard for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and in one day, God can change everything about your circumstances. The promotion can come in one day, and one day you can step into your destiny. And here's where I'm going to finish off the statement that came up earlier, and I'm going to say it fully and then add to it. The power test begins when we step into God's destiny for our life, but the power test continues based on how we respond to God's destiny for our life. Basically, it's one thing to get power. It's another thing to do what's right once you have it. A lot of people don't understand that they'll be tested by success. It's one of the many tests that people fail. Failing the power test would be like someone getting a promotion and then the next day showing up and mistreating everyone around them because of the fact that they got a promotion. That would be an indicator that something changed when that person got a particular position, when they got more power or influence. This is what the power test is, and this person would be failing it. And this morning, as we talk about the power test, I have 3 points that are phrased as questions. And as I go through each question, we'll arrive to the answer. And so here's the first one. If you're taking notes, the first question, first point is this: where does power come from? Where does power come from? Psalm chapter 62, verse 11, it says this: God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. In fact, Romans chapter 14 says that there's no authority that is in existence that is not set up by God. And John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11, it says this: do you refuse to speak to me, Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power to free you or crucify you? Now, when I read this, knowing the context, as we see this later on, this has to be one of the craziest verses in the Bible, because Pilate is saying to the creator of the universe, all the power and authority, do you not know that I have power over you? And this is how Jesus responds in verse 11. He answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. You see, the power test is recognizing that God's blessing and God's power is on our life as we respond and do the right thing. In other words, let me just give some clarity, and this might throw some of you off, but I'm just going to say it. In other words, the power test, it's neither of these mindsets. It's not that all of this success that I have is all because of me. It's not that. But it's also not this mindset, that all of this success that I have is all because of God. You see, I think about it like this, that if I were to start going to the gym and I recognize someone that I know at the gym and I see him there and I'm like, oh, wow, and I walk up to him, I say, hey, I didn't know that you go to this gym. Like, that's so cool. And they respond by saying, yeah, I just started today. And I say, I just started today as well. Like, that's so cool. And then we go about and we just kind of work out on our own. We see our, you know, we see each other at the gym, but they do their own workout. I do my own. And as like 6 to 8 months go by or whatever, I see them and I notice a very noticeable difference in the results that they're getting from the gym compared to me. And if I were to walk up to them and say, hey, man, looking great, you're doing awesome. Hey, way to go. Hey, tell me, what are you doing? Because I'm obviously not doing what you're doing, other than steroids or something. Like, what's going on? Not funny. Like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? And then that person responds back to me by saying, all this, bro, all this, all God. It's all God. Like, first off, I'm going to be sitting there just kind of like, you know, as a pastor, you know, like, praise God, that's awesome. That's cool, man, way to go. I'm gonna sit there like awkwardly quiet for a while, like, okay, let's hear it, what's going on? And if they stay there and it's like long enough, like quiet enough, like it's like, okay, then my next thing is I might have a little bit of bitterness towards God in that moment. Like if that's what they respond with, then that's where they keep the conversation. Like, you know, I might walk off, God, listen, you know I'm not perfect. But, you know, you boys being faithful here, and I'm in the Word, and I'm talking to you in prayer, and I'm not all swole and jacked like that guy is, so what's going on? No, it's not just that, hey, it's all me, but it's also not that it's all God. You see, the power test is understanding that I've worked very hard to have the success that I have, yet God has blessed me, and without the blessing of God, I wouldn't be able to do what I am doing. But I've responded, and I've walked in obedience and stewardship and principles of finance and humility and servanthood and so on and so forth. You see, the way you pass the power test is understanding this, that we work hard, we respond to God's voice, but it's still God's power and God's authority that enables it to happen. And that's the way it works. And so where does power come from? You've probably guessed it already, but all power comes from God. All power comes from God. And did you know this? That the desire for power also comes from God. The desire for power. Now, of course, the enemy, Satan, he's twisted this to become a selfish and self-centered desire. But the original pure desire comes from God. You were created from the image of an all-powerful God. And power is not for our own good, but it's to help people. You see, God gave Joseph power to feed multitudes. God gave Joseph power so that he could bless people. And Joseph understood that, and he used his power correctly. Everyone has a desire for power. Every single one of us has a desire for power. And if you don't think so, just pay attention to the behaviors of children. My wife and I, we've got 2 boys, ages 9 and 6, and they love creating their Lego worlds and fighting off bad guys and keeping good company and making sure that everyone is safe within their room, within their Lego world. But I'll tell you this much, that if one of the boys is doing something that the other boy doesn't like, they're quick to tell him, hey, if you don't get this corrected, you're off the team, bud. Like, this is the way we're gonna do it, and all the power and authority rests on me. I mean, I walk into this constantly. Hey, Dad, he's not doing what I need him to do. He's off the team, right, Dad? Nope, that's not how it's gonna work, son. Like, that's how our boys react. It starts young, but it continues throughout our life. Everyone desires some sort of power. In fact, I thought this was hilarious. My dad was out at lunch with our boys a couple weeks ago, and he came home and he told me something, and he said, hey, Maddox, which Maddox is our youngest, he's 6. He said, Chris, Maddox said to me at lunch, he said, Grandpa, I tell you what, I just want a little brother or little sister so bad so I can be the boss of someone. Grayson's a boss of me. I need to be the boss of someone. And so who knows? But there it is, you know? There's the power and authority that starts at a young age that they just crave. There is this natural desire for power and authority that God gives. All power and even the right desire for power is from God. In fact, Jesus didn't say to his disciples that if anyone desires to be great in the kingdom, that they're wrong and they have bad motives. In fact, he said that if anyone desires to be great in the kingdom, let them be a servant of all. In other words, it's not wrong to desire to be great in the kingdom. Timothy in the book of Titus says that if anyone desires the office of a bishop or overseer or elder, they desire a good thing. If they desire power or authority or a promotion, they desire a good thing. If you desire power for the right reason, then it's a good thing. So again, where does power come from? All power comes from God. Number two, who does power come to? Who does power come to? In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Another way of saying that God will lift you up is that he will give you power. He will give you authority or responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One aspect of grace is this, an enabling or an empowering. And so some of us, when we hear the word grace, of course, it's referring to God's grace over our lives, our mistakes, our sin. But another word for grace is an enabling or an empowering. He will give grace to us. And so where does power come from? God. Who does power come to? The humble. Power comes to the humble. It's always interesting to see how we're real humble when we start out with something new. But if we're not careful, after a while, we can lose our humility with it. It's kind of like the story of the group that has gotten so large. And we have lots of groups all throughout the week that meet all throughout the week at different times for different ages, different people, all like that here at part of Citizen Church. And this has actually been a real example within our church as far as groups getting so large that sometimes they want to kind of split up or divide up just for discussion time or conversations, which can help, of course, if you have a ton and there's some groups that are over 50 in size and things like that. So it just kind of helps discussions. It makes sense to maybe just during that time, just to kind of space out and divide up and all of that for discussion. And so an example of this where maybe we would lose our humility over time is the group host needing to identify someone else to host conversations for another group. Does this make sense? All big one group, but during discussions, they need to raise up another host to kind of help facilitate conversations. And it would be like them going up to someone and saying, hey, I've prayed about this. I feel like you'd be a great host to kind of facilitate the conversation once we get to that point with our group. And would you just pray and consider that? And they respond by saying, no, I could never do that. I could never do what you do. I mean, gosh, that's just what a great thing. I mean, you do it so well. I don't think I'd be good at it. But they say, well, hey, would you just pray about it? And so they pray about it and they come back and they say, you know what? I've prayed about it. I'll do this. And so the semester goes on and they continue to do this week after week after week after week after week. They help host facilitating conversations for the group once they've branched off for discussion. And then it would be like at the end of the semester, someone coming up to that person and saying, hey, you did such a great job in hosting these discussion groups. And then they would respond by saying, yep, I knew I'd be good at this, man. I just knew I'd be good at this. See, if we're not careful, we can lose our humility. What started off with in humbleness and saying, you know, hey, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this can end very quickly, if not careful, in pride. And I've heard it said that false humility is pride in disguise. Now, I'm not going to say that's 100% true because anything, something is in disguise. I don't know, but I've heard it said that way. And I've also heard this story of a pastor who said that he was dealing with false humility and felt like it was maybe pride on the inside. And after he got done preaching, he got off the stage and he saw someone out in the lobby and they said, brother, that was a good word. And he said, brother, that was all God. And the man responded, well, it wasn't that good. Because if it were all God, it would have been amazing. You see, it's understanding that if we're not careful, we need to have these boundaries set up and knowing that, hey, I need to stay humble. And the more time goes on, if I'm not careful, pride can come aside here on me. And God wants to work through the humble, the humility. You see, the lower we put ourselves, the higher God puts us. Pride is foolish and it looks foolish. And there's been times in my life where I've so badly wanted to meet someone And the moment I had the opportunity to meet them, I was expecting one thing, but I saw another thing. And pride was all over their life, and it was foolishness. It looked silly on them. It was something I wasn't expecting. And maybe you've had situations like that where you so badly wanted to meet someone, you saw them from a distance, but the more you got to know them, you saw pride on their life, and you were just like, oh, that's just not what I was expecting for that person. It can throw you off in a negative way when that happens. So who does power come to? It comes to the humble. And here's the third one. Why does power come? Why does power come? Why does God give or share his power with someone? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says this, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." You see, God gives power to help people. God gives power because he loves people and he wants to see people helped. God didn't give Joseph power for Joseph's sake. God gave Joseph power so he could feed the multitudes. God saw a man that would be humble and faithful and a good steward and knew that there was a famine coming. And he knew that he'd found someone that he could trust to make a difference and feed the people. God has all the resources in the universe. I want you to think about it like this. Over here are all of the needs. All of the needs. All the people that need the gospel. All of the people that need to be fed. All of the ministries that need the support, all of the campuses that need to be established, all of the need over here. But then on this side is all of the resources, all of the resources. So I want you to think about it like this, all of the supply, all of the demand, all the need, all the resources. So the question is, what's in the middle? What's in the middle? And the answer is you are. I am. We are. To bridge the gap from the supply to the demand. God is calling us and looking for faithful stewards, looking for obedient people who he can trust to say, make a difference. There's a need. I want to give you a power. I want to give you authority. I want to give you responsibility, but I want to know that I can trust you with it. If there's a need and I have the resources, I'm calling and looking for individuals who can rise up and say, God, here am I. I'm willing. I'm faithful. I'm obedient. I want to be trusting you. You've seen me in this area of faithfulness and obedience. He works through people. His power is for good. His power is for people. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 says this. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Why does power come? Here's the answer. To be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to others. So that he can establish his covenant. So that people can come into the new covenant of grace with Jesus Christ. He wants to bless you so you can bless others. It's all throughout scripture. Why would God bless Citizen Church in the way that he has? I'll tell you this much. It's not so that we can look impressive. It's so that we can be a blessing to people in this community, in this state, in this world. God has given to us so that he can give through us. God has enabled it. It's godly when people use the power they've been given to help people. And that's exactly what Joseph did. You see, Joseph was in prison and a cupbearer and a baker needed a dream interpreted. And he had a decision to make. Do I sulk or do I serve? Do I sit here and have a pout party because of all that I've gone through? All of this. God, I thought you were with me. God, I thought you gave me a dream. Joseph decided, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. If I'm being called, I'm going to serve. And a couple of chapters later, he has another opportunity. And he finds himself in another moment of interpreting a dream for Pharaoh. And after doing so, Pharaoh responds by telling him that he'll be in charge of his entire palace. See, I believe that Joseph went through tests that shook him, but those same tests, they shaped him. And I believe that some of you, and I know whether it's been in the past or it's right now or it will be in the future, God will put you through some tests that'll shake you. But I'm telling you, those same tests, they'll shape you. Joseph's brothers, they end up showing up and they need food. Joseph fills their baskets. He gives their money back. He doesn't reveal himself to them. He sends them back to get their brother, sends them back to get their dad. Eventually, the whole family is brought back together, but shortly after the dad dies, and after the dad dies, all of the brothers are thinking that Joseph is gonna demand repayment for all that he's done for them. So what do? They bow down to Joseph and they offer to work as repayment. And Joseph, what he doesn't do is he doesn't go, "About time, I told you guys that one day you were gonna bow down to me. I told you," because it was 13 years from when he revealed that dream to his brothers to when it came to pass, 13 years. Joseph doesn't respond like that. I think early on, maybe he could have. But this is actually what he says to them in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. "But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me.'" They threw him into the pit, "but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." What? "The saving of many lives." The saving of many people, humans, you and I. Joseph understood that it wasn't about what God could do for him. It was about what God could do through him. God's heart is for people. And if God's heart is for people, then that means God's heart is for you and I. But here's what I know, is that some of you, whether you're in the room or whether you're watching online, or some of you who it's pretty difficult for you to believe that. You're in a season right now where it just feels heavy. And maybe as I spoke about sudden moments earlier, maybe it's just felt sudden. I know there's, because I've talked with some of you, even this week, where it just feels like there's a heavy weight to your life, where it's just happened like that. Like, where did this come from, God? What's happening? What are you doing to me? It's been almost a year that our oldest son had a pretty big surgery. We had to fly out to Philadelphia. We had to stay out there for a month. We had to leave our youngest because of COVID here at home for a month. And it was pretty difficult. And we were away, and you know, the distance and being out there so long. And I can remember the day we went in for the surgery. I'm pretty sure my wife is, we've been married almost 12 years. I know for a fact, the day that they rolled my son away for the surgery, my wife's never seen me cry as hard as I did in that moment. And we waited. It was a 6.5 hour long surgery. And we waited. They told us, okay, the surgery's done. I mean, I can remember sitting in that room and we'd see couples walk in and then couples leave, couples walk in, couples leave. We started the first, felt like we ended last. And we moved from one place to the other after the surgery was over. And finally, we got to see our son, but then we had to wait for him to wake up. And we were talking to him and we were trying to take it easy, obviously, after such a heavy surgery. But he could tell that there was something heavy by the way that we were just looking at him and talking to him. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Dad, I wasn't that scared because I knew that God was with me in that room." And I want to remind you, just like Joseph was thrown in a pit, you might feel like you're in a valley right now and that it's dark, it's hopeless, and that the God of the universe can't quite go into a place like that, that your valley, that your pit is too dark, it's too messy. But I want to remind you today that the God of the universe, who has all of the resources, he sent his son Jesus Christ to come down on earth, to go to a cross, to die for our sin, for the need, That's why he sent his son. He came seeing you and having you in mind, seeing you right where you are. And sometimes I feel like, for whatever reason in my own life, when I'm in those places, in that valley, I feel like, God, you're with me on the mountaintop, but I don't know if you're really with me in the valley. But I want to remind you today that God's with you in your valley. God's with you in the pit. When it looks dark, when it looks hopeless, when your situation looks too messy, he's right there with you. And I want to tell you this, all you have to do is invite him into your life to be there. Majority of Jesus' time on earth, he wasn't just with the people who had it all together. In fact, it was quite the opposite. He was going out of his way to places to meet people who felt like, I'm too messed up. I had it together at one point, but now I'm messed up. That's why Jesus came. And the enemy would love to twist it and make you feel that you're just too messed up. You had it going at one point. Why don't you just give up? I want to tell you, stay faithful. I'm looking at this camera. Stay faithful. You watching online, stay faithful. Stay strong, because God sees you and he's with you right there in the pit, in the valley. Do not forget that. But also, here's what I want to say, is that there's some of you, you'd say you're in a pretty good season. And maybe God has enabled you to have some power, some responsibility, some influence. Maybe you've come out of a pretty messy season. And here's what I know about people who maybe are in a good season, and you know, they kind of understand that, hey, I've been through a season that was messy, but they also understand I'll probably go through another. But here's the difference, is that I know that God is with me through it all. He's with me in it all. And that's the difference. And so here's what I want to say to you. If you're in a good season, use it. Maybe God has healed you. Maybe God has blessed you financially. Maybe God has given you responsibility or power, and he's doing something in your life. Use it. You have a story to share. Maybe there's been something that you can remember that was very devastating, but God has brought you through it. Use that. We need you. May we never be a community of believers that feel like it's just about me and what God has done for me. But let us always know that what God has done for us is not just for us, it's to go through us. And so here in a moment, we're going to sing about being available and God using us. And I want us to worship and have this in mind, that God, use me. In every season, use me. In the pain, use me. In the pit, in the valley, use me, God, use me. Because I know that you can bring me through this, just like you did for Joseph and so many people around me in this room. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to us, God, that you would use us, God. Do what only you can do in this moment, God. I pray, Lord, that we would use the influence and power that you enable us to have because of the hard work that we've shown to be a blessing to people. We love you so much. Thank you for modeling this for us by sending your son, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet?